Well, everyone, welcome to the Brain Dead Junkies, episode 4 of the Junkcast podcast. We talk about movies, TVs, games, and other junk. Now we're available on iTunes.
Very exciting.
Yeah, just look the Brain Dead Junkies up and other things to do with iTunes. I don't really like iTunes.
Don't say that. We just got on there. I don't want to get kicked off the second we get on there. Apple will be like, fuck these guys. We were so nice to them.
I should probably put explicit on our thing. I think I put clean.
What? Why? Because
I forget we swear.
Why would you fucking put clean, you dumbass?
But I'm your host, Thomas Bessie, and with me today is a person that got kicked out of Asgard for looking underneath Sith's armor, but I just like to think of him as my co-host, Garrett Strada.
Yeah, that's me. I'm that dude.
You are that dude.
I'm that guy.
So this podcast, we're going to talk about TVs, games, movies.
We're like 2 minutes in and you're already repeating yourself. This is going badly quickly.
Yeah, I don't have my show notes here, so I'm all disorganized.
Yeah, Tom was lazy and he didn't bring his laptop over, so...
So far away.
It'll be a little bit more of a scattershot junk cast this week.
Yeah, but I don't...
We'll get through it.
I don't have news.
That's right. I got some stuff in my head that I'm specifically wanting to talk about.
Okay, but let's go with what you've been doing this week, and I'll kick it off to you.
Like always. All right. There's a couple things I've been doing this week. One, and this involves you and me, and I always tend to start this segment by thinking like what I did right after we recorded the last one, so I can kind of do this chronologically. And I got you to come over to my house and start over from the very beginning, Twin Peaks on Netflix. Now, I wouldn't blame anybody for not knowing what Twin Peaks is, because it was a show that aired on TV. I don't know what channel.
Doesn't matter.
I know.
1990.
Yeah, 1990. So it was
a while
ago. Yeah, well, I was born in 89.
I was born in 89, but like most everyone else.
I know. I'm just saying. I was born in December, so it was like right real close.
Whatever.
Anyway, that's not important. So yeah, this is an old show. But games like Deadly Premonition and Alan Wake, which both came out last year, have kind of drawn inspiration, or have said to have drawn inspiration, from Twin Peaks.
So no one knows what the show is, for good reason. If you're interested, after we talk about it, it's available on Netflix and streaming.
Yeah. It only ran for 2 seasons, so...
30 episodes.
It amounts to 30 episodes. Yeah. They're all on Netflix. We got through the first 6 this week. The first episode's an hour and a half long, and then the rest are all about 45 minutes long. It's a typical hour-long show.
So let's talk about Twin Peaks real quick, since we're already on here.
Yeah, I really...
That show's crazy.
I know it's crazy, but I really like it. It's so interesting.
We're not talking about crazy as in, like, hijinks happened and stuff's, like, going on. We're talking about crazy like there was a midget dancing and the guy's tripping out on acid and shit is going on.
Yeah, but, like...
It is weird.
He, like, goes to sleep and he has this dream where he's sitting in a red room and he's 20 years older and there's a midget dancing and he walks, like, I don't know, like, backwards, like they shot it in reverse, and then subtitles. I don't know. Like, that's not representative of the whole show, though. It's about...
I think it's representative of the entire show.
Maybe.
Of how crazy that show is.
It's about this small town...
Called Twin Peaks.
Yeah, close to the border of Canada, somewhere in kind of like a real kind of small, like, it looks like a logging town.
Yeah, like, it had a lumber mill.
Yeah, there's a big lumber mill. So kind of that, like, what, like, Northwestern... flavor to it, similar to like Alan Wake if you've played that, and there's a murder that happens of this this girl in the high school, Laura Palmer, and so an FBI agent gets called in after a second girl goes missing.
Federal Bureau of Investigation
Special Agent Dale Cooper. Yeah, that guy's a beast. Like, I love Dale Cooper, Special Agent Dale Cooper.
Yeah.
He's the FBI agent that comes in after a second girl goes missing and it starts to look like there might be some sort of serial murder case going on in this town. And this guy, I just want to talk about this guy for a second, this FBI agent.
We really should be talking about more about the show.
I know, but girl gets killed, second girl goes missing, FBI comes in, and it's in a small town. So, like, I mean... Everyone gets sad because, like, everybody in the small town knows this girl. She was really popular at school. So it's, like, the whole first episode, like, the first half of the episode is everybody crying and freaking out. And it's kind of, like, overdramatic and things like
that. Oh, man. Overdramatic to the max.
Yeah. Like, the mother of the girl, like, literally screaming at full force into the camera, chewing through the scenery as much as she can.
The cheating boyfriend just screaming randomly. It's like,
everybody's screaming at the camera that this girl died.
Also, everyone is sleeping with everyone.
Yes, another 90s TV staple.
Yeah, but everyone's also upset that everyone's cheating.
Yeah.
They have double standards.
So everyone's upset that this girl's dead, everyone's sleeping with everyone. It's all this, like, small-town intrigue and drama. And that might not sound interesting, and it might not be if it were not for Special Agent Dale Cooper. Probably one of my most favorite recent television icons that I can think of. And not recent in the terms of, like, new TV, but just, like, a character on a television show that I've seen. He's like the most immediately likable character.
Because everyone kind of sucks.
Well, yeah, like everybody in this town is kind of a jerk. And like, they all have like,
everyone except for the one cop.
Yeah, that guy's cool.
Yeah.
And the cop secretary. She's cool too.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, but the reason I like this, this FBI agent guy so much is because like, dude literally has the most enthusiasm for everything. And it just makes me jealous that I don't live my life that way. Like, he drives into town, and
he also kind of talks like a crazy person.
He might be crazy. It wouldn't surprise me, because everybody in the show seems like they're crazy, and this town seems like Silent Hill kind of crazy. Like, there's some sort of weird shit going on that people don't know about. But no, yeah, speaking of crazy, he pulls out a voice recorder all the time in the show and addresses this woman named Diane. So far, 6 episodes in, we have absolutely no idea who this Diane woman is. We assume it's someone back at the FBI that he's sending these tapes to. But he pretty much inner monologues...
every thought he has.
Yeah, every thought he has into this voice recorder for Diane. And it gets to be pretty funny at times. He has, like, this fascination with the trees when he's driving into town. He's like, Diane, these trees. I've never felt so alive. These trees, Diane. Or
and a super enthusiastic thumbs up.
Yeah, he has this thumbs up that he just whips out with this big-ass smile on his face at seemingly inappropriate times. And
I mean, you want to talk about inappropriate, the music in that entire show, they only play the exact same music, the opening theme,
yeah,
but applies to everything.
If something good's happening, they play the opening theme. If something's really dramatic, they play the opening theme. If something really freaky or terrifying is going on, they play the opening theme. It's like, that's all you get.
Yep.
It puts you in this mindset of like, I don't know what is going on, but everything's super 90s in that show. It's all the big hairstyles. And it's not even like super 90s. Yeah, wow. We said the same thing.
Fine. Take the words.
I know. Yeah, something super 90s is like super late 80s because it's 1990 when it was...
Dude, yeah, perms.
Aired. Yeah, big old haircuts and perms and plaid shirts and...
Well, plaid shirt because they're like in the woods.
Yeah. But also, that was kind of like the fashion back, like early 90s. But I don't know. But it's just strangely entertaining. It has that quality to it that reminds me of Lost, where it's like every episode there's a big cast. You have a bunch of characters, and there's all these like relationships that are intermingling with each other. And there's some people that are just flat out crazy, and other people that seem sane.
Stupid.
Or stupid.
Very stupid.
But it all has this kind of, like, mysterious aura to it. It never feels like this is, like, actually happening, like, a real place.
I think you're building up the show to be, like, sound better than it actually is. I think it's crazy weird. It's just the right amount of weird that I can enjoy it, but I don't take it seriously.
Oh, I take it kind of seriously. Like,
really?
I was a fan of Lost, so I can kind of, like, handle, like, ludicrousness in a serious context. Because I would say the show is, like, one half actual serious drama, like, where there's, like, serious stuff going on between these characters, and it's not supposed to be taken lightly. And then the other half is just complete, light, weird comedy that's supposed to make you laugh in...
Okay, this scene and this episode, tell me if it's serious or just weird comedy.
Okay.
Daniel Cooper is trying to find the Special J, makes a list... throws rock at a bottle, and if it breaks the bottle, that's the person that he's going to look for.
Yep. I think that's supposed to be part comedy and part serious.
And he got this by having a dream.
About Tibet. Like, the whole Tibet thing just made me laugh, because, like, that's the type of stuff that is just like, alright, this show's weird and dumb, but it's funny.
Very first minute and a half of the film, you get that weird little fat high school kid. Hot chicks are passing by him. He just turns around, does a little fancy spin, and slides out.
Slides out of the frame.
Don't explain that at all.
No. Yeah, this show is just like, if you're into, if you have some free time and are into just weird, quirky, kind of cult hit shows, or if you liked Alan Wake or Deadly Premonition, you should probably check the show out, just because it'll at least hold your interest for a few episodes.
It's so weird.
I can understand if it loses you at the end of the third episode where there's a dancing midget, like, talking backwards with subtitles. That gets to the point where I was like, whoa, this show's nuts.
Yeah, and also everyone, like, kind of rotates craziness. Like, they first seem really sane, and someone seems crazy, and then that person seems sane, and someone else seems crazy.
You know, we've spoken about crazy characters, we haven't even mentioned Log Lady. She hasn't done anything yet. They literally call her Log Lady. She's just a lady that always walks around with a log and talks to her log.
I think she's the least crazy person there.
There's a lady with an eye patch that has a weird obsession with her drapes. Like, not any sexual innuendo for drapes. Her actual drapes in her house.
What would be a sexual innuendo for drapes?
We're not that explicit. We can't go that deep down the rabbit hole. But
all right, so Twin Peaks.
Yeah, I'd recommend it.
Three out of five stars?
I'm not rating it because I don't know how I would rate it.
Oh.
It's like a guilty pleasure, it seems like. I enjoy it, but I don't know. I can see it's not for everyone.
What else you got?
What else do I have? Oh, yeah. So I was also shown this show that I know you've been watching for a little while now, but I didn't even hear about it until this week, called Traffic Light.
Yep, on Fox Tuesdays, Wednesdays.
I have no idea. I was watching it on Hulu. So,
I'm pretty sure it's Wednesdays.
Okay. I know if you're a Hulu Plus subscriber, they have the whole first season. I think they only have the first season on there. I don't know how many seasons there's been. Is there only one
so far?
Okay, so it's a new show then.
Yeah.
It's a comedy. Seems like it's kind of like my favorite type of TV comedy, where it's just a comedy about like a group of friends. Kind of like a sitcom.
But yeah, it is a sitcom.
Okay. I don't know. I don't watch a lot of TV sitcoms, so I don't know what constitutes as a sitcom.
Well, the whole premise of the title is their traffic lights, because they hold a lot of conversations in their cars.
Oh, I've noticed that.
Yeah, like the beginning and end of the episode, they're having like they all have wireless cars.
Oh, okay, that makes more sense now. Yeah, they talk to each other in their cars.
If you saw the very first episode, they kind of set up like those traffic, like also the stages of a relationship. The red one is married. The other one, the guy just moved in, and the green one's a single crazy guy.
Oh, is the single crazy guy like the French looking dude that's like kind of weird looking?
He's like Australian or something.
But he's like the weird looking dude. I think he's weird looking.
No.
Maybe I'm not the guy that was in The Office.
The paramedic.
Yeah, that guy.
He's weird looking to you?
I think he's weird looking.
If anything, the guy with the glasses would be weird looking.
No, I think he's normal looking.
Because he looks the most like you.
I know.
He's really tall.
I like
not
him.
Not super in shape.
I like him.
I do like him a lot. He's really funny.
Yeah, so like I said, I didn't start with the first episode.
Also a journalist or a writer.
Is he?
Yeah, like, he writes for a magazine.
I only watched like two episodes of this show. It was like random episodes on Hulu, because a friend of mine showed it to me, and it was
a solid comedy.
It was making me laugh. It was pretty funny. I'm normally not a big fan of like sitcoms. There's a couple that like it's all about like the characters and whether or not I can like immediately like the characters or not. And I found all the people in that show really likable.
Yeah.
So. Because, I mean, it's, like, the same reason, like I like The League because I really like the characters and enjoy spending time with them, but I don't like the characters in Two and a Half Men and don't want to spend time with them. So it's, like, I like How I Met Your Mother, don't like...
Which you don't watch.
I know, I'm way behind on that. I really enjoyed it when it first came out, and then I got so far behind. I'll probably just eventually, like, buy all the DVD seasons or something like that.
I want Netflix. I want a lot of things on Netflix.
Yeah. I read somewhere a while ago.
I think Netflix should just take over. Like, the whole back catalog's like, oh, yeah, you want to watch every season except for this current season on TV? But yeah, we have it.
Well, that's what Hulu Plus is kind of trying to do. Like, they're trying to focus on TV. I know, that's a separate subscription than Netflix. I read something kind of interesting about Netflix a while ago. This was probably, like, around a month or so ago. But it gave me some interesting insight into how Netflix actually acquires TV shows. And it was Netflix had just negotiated a deal to get every episode of Mad Men on their service, which I'm already excited for because I've never seen Mad Men, but I hear good things about it.
I saw a couple episodes. I am not a fan. of the characters. Like you said earlier, if you don't like the characters, you can't get in the show.
Right.
So if I don't really like the character, I didn't get into it.
Well, it just looks interesting because it looks like that period drama kind of thing. Like it's like in a certain specific time.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't see much from that era, so I'm kind of like, especially on TV.
It's the 60s.
Yeah, especially on TV. So like, I'm interested just to at least check it out.
It's the 60s.
Shut up. But the interesting thing was, it amounted to, or maybe it was just the first season of Mad Men. It might have only been the first season, and then they were still in negotiations to get the rest of the seasons or something. Mm-hmm. Maybe to see if like people were like going to watch it or not, you know, on their service. But the interesting thing was, the deal amounted to Netflix was essentially paying $1 million per episode to get it on their streaming service. And some people were saying that, you know, if the company that has the rights to this show, whatever station it's on normally, I don't know what station it's on, is it AMC?
AMC, yeah.
Okay. And whoever owns AMC, one of the big five companies.
Yeah.
But pretty much if they can get away with charging that much per episode, can Netflix really afford to get some of the other big shows that's not on their instant streaming? Like, some people are saying that Netflix is paying too much and that they could run themselves into the ground just by... Because they say they're trying to please everyone. They're trying to attract more and more people to their internet service and things like that. With the,
I don't even use the DVD service. It's too much of an inconvenient for me.
To
wait in the mail for a DVD that I may or may not watch. Instant streaming, I have like 140-something in my Insta queue.
Yeah.
I'm never going to watch those, but I know that they're there if I ever want to.
Like, it's a little bit inconvenient to not have the DVD thing because, like, shows like Dexter, I got really into watching on instant streaming, and they had the first two seasons on it. And then once I hit the third season, it was DVD only.
I think they should cut out the DVD, increase the price for like $3, and get more stuff on instant streaming.
True, but there's parts of the nation that don't have high-speed internet, you know, like out in the countryside and things like that. And so that would just be... They might be relying on like the DVD services of Netflix, and they might not have the internet capabilities to stream a movie, you know, to a 360.
If you're waiting
whatever.
That long to rent a DVD from Netflix, you might as well just pay for pay-per-view.
I think some people don't mind the DVD service. I just don't think it's for us.
Like, everyone I know doesn't use a DVD service.
Well, everyone you know is probably under the age of 30. I'm thinking more like people that live out in more rural areas and type of people that are more used to going to Blockbuster back in the day or a Hollywood Video.
I still go to Blockbuster.
I know. There's not many left.
To rent a game because I can't rent games conveniently.
There's nowhere else to rent games except for Redbox, but they have like three at a time.
Yeah.
But yeah.
There's Gamefly.
I know. Oh yeah, Gamefly.
Which I also have to wait and it's not
efficient. It's not efficient, but I bet I could save a bunch of money if I used Gamefly instead of going out and buying every game I want. Because I've been spending a lot of money on games lately.
Every game I bought before I play it for a couple hours. Except for a game we'll talk about later.
I think I know what you're talking about because it's probably the same for me. I know. I set out at the beginning of this year with an initiative. I don't think I've mentioned this before. I might have mentioned it to you.
Initiative? Objective?
I don't know.
A goal,
I should say. Because last year, I don't remember if I've mentioned this before or not, but last year, I was going the cheaper route on games, and I was avoiding brand new games, because, I mean, at $60 a pop, you know, it gets really expensive. And so instead of going whenever there was a big new game that I wanted to play, instead of getting that, I would wait for the price to go down. Like, I would wait for it to go on sale. And I wouldn't buy it until it dropped at, like, 40 or below. So I was, like, trying to save money.
I don't remember this at all.
Well, it wasn't something I, like, talked about or, like, actively did. But there was a lot of games that came out that I was just waiting to go on sale to play. And a lot of times, they either didn't go on sale or by the time they did, I was already waiting for a different game to go on sale. And basically what I'm saying is I ended up not playing a lot of the new games last year. And I ended up being way behind. And so I spent my time playing older games and other things, which was still fun and fine, like buying used games and things like that, but I wasn't keeping current with what was coming out, and I was kind of missing out on the discussions and things like that. So I was like, this year, I was like, I'm just going to manage my money enough so that I can buy every big game that I want to come out, and I'll have it day one so I can be in those conversations.
You've been very successful with that so far.
Yeah.
of the like four games that came out and play.
Yeah, I mean, I bought Killzone 3 day one, Portal 2, Mortal Kombat, SOCOM 4. I think those are the four that I've bought this year. Like, obviously, I still can't buy every game. Like, I would have liked to get Dead Space 2 and Dragon Age 2 and Crysis 2. A lot of twos. But, but I mean, to a certain extent, I only can buy so much. I only have time to play so much.
Well, summer is right around the corner.
I know. And then I can kind of get back to those. But
yeah.
Although, what I'm really excited for is, well, I guess we'll get to that in a little while, but Brink.
Really? I'm not that excited for it.
I guess, well, we can talk about Brink a little more later with when...
Yeah, we're still on TV right now, right?
Yeah, I don't really think I've really watched much else on TV.
All right, then I'm going to switch to me for TV, because once we go to movies, it's pretty much the same.
Yeah, okay, so yeah, you can...
Watch the latest episode of Community, the paintball.
I still need to watch that.
It was really funny, because, like, it's not as good as the last paintball, because they kind of set this up really loosely as Fistful of Quarters. It's called, like, a Fistful of Paintball, where it's kind of like a Western style. This pretty much is ice cream lady came in trying to promote her ice cream product, and she goes, here's some guns, or paintball guns. Grand prize, $100,000.
What?
Yeah.
I like how that show kind of started off seemingly plausible, and then it has slowly gone more and more ridiculous. But it's still like, it still seems seemingly plausible in like some crazy universe, TV universe.
I wish my community college was like that. Shit, I would have a lot more fun.
That community college is awesome. I love Greendale.
Yeah.
Greendale's the best. The dean.
But Alison Brie really hot in this episode.
Alison Brie is hot in every episode.
She's also in Mad Men.
Oh, is she?
Yeah, she's one of the wives.
Well, I want to see it even more now, because I like me some Alison Brie.
But yeah, that was okay.
Yeah. Really? Just okay?
Yeah, because it's like a two-parter,
So
I might continue, but so far it's been
Did you catch this week's Office?
No.
I really want to see it.
After we saw Thor last night, which took up, I didn't get home till like 4. And
yeah.
I had to wake up to go to work, so I watched
Community. Got home at 4 from Thor. Yeah, let that sink in.
Watch Castle, it was a pretty good episode of Castle. That's I'm going to mention Castle until someone tells me not to.
And that's another show I've always wanted to see but never seen. I like me some Nathan Fillion, but I've never got around to seeing
it. But after watching Twin Peaks with you, I was kind of like a 90s high, so I went on Netflix trying to find out a 90s show that I was like, I used to watch this, and I watch this. So I turned on the very first episode of Hercules.
Oh, man.
With Kevin Sorbo.
That's very 90s.
And I watched it, and holy crap, is that 90s. Like, the special, like, hey guys, we found these computers, and they're pretty cool. Look at all those cool things I can do with computers. Oh, they look so bad.
I remember liking that show when I was a little kid.
I remember liking that show, too.
It was a pretty badass show.
It was not a very good show.
That doesn't really surprise me hearing it now.
I watched the very first episode, and I was so bored.
Really?
I couldn't get how bored I was. And then I think I remember just watching Young Hercules with Ryan Gosling. Grossling? Is that his name?
Gosling?
Gosling. Dude from The Notebook.
Yeah.
He played Young Hercules.
I did not know that.
Yeah, on the Fox TV shows with Jason and the Argonauts dude.
You're losing me here.
You remember that? It was on Fox Kids.
No. You know what I watched when I was a little kid?
What?
Men in Black, the animated show.
I watched that too.
I was big into that show.
I watched Jackie Chan Adventures.
I watched that too.
Oh, I love Jackie Chan Adventures.
Man. And I watched the Fresh Prince of Bel-Air.
That wasn't on when we were kids.
I watched the reruns of it.
Yeah.
Like, that was a little bit before when I was
kids. We're getting really off topic about the 90s. So I get really bored with that.
So much nostalgia.
Yeah, so I was trying to find something else from the 90s on there.
You could have just watched more Twin Peaks.
I don't want to watch that without you.
No, that's true. It's kind of a show where you want to be at the same episode, so you can...
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about watching that show by myself, too, because it's kind of like the reaction we both get. Like, what?
Yeah.
The hell just happened?
If you're watching it by yourself, it might be a completely different experience. You have to have at least two people there so you can kind of bounce back, like, you saw that, right? That was crazy, right? Okay, just making sure.
But, like, we talked about Buffy the Vampire Slayer.
Did we?
Well, I said I didn't really like it, so I gave that show another shot. Joss Whedon is the, like, very first TV show, and it's very apparent of how Joss Whedon that is with the comedy style of, oh, hey, I'm casually fighting all these dudes, but I can have a fun sense of humor about it. That show's pretty 90s, too.
I know a lot of people like Buffy. I've never seen an episode of it.
I think I... made a snap judgment because one of the characters later in the season I don't find attractive at all.
And it so sexist.
It bums me out because I don't think she's hot and she's just like, eh. The girl from Dollhouse, another Joss Whedon show that failed.
I wouldn't call Buffy the Vampire Slayer a failure, though.
No, it was around a huge show. Sixth season, and then spun off Angel, which I liked.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to talk about failures, Dollhouse, yeah, and as much as it pains me to say Firefly.
I don't think that was a failure. I think it was a raving
well, it
success.
Well, it was a success that nobody watched.
Also on Netflix, watch that.
Yeah, watch Firefly. Firefly's good shit.
Love Firefly.
I don't even want to say anything about Firefly, except for watch it.
I wish, like, I was able to watch that show when it was on air so I can contribute to those ratings.
Yeah.
Came out in, what, 2001? 2002?
I don't know.
That sounds right.
I feel like I don't ever contribute to the ratings of the shows I like, though, because I watch them on Netflix or I watch them online.
You're an awful, awful person.
Yeah, so whenever something I like gets canceled, I'm just like, well, why did that happen? I'm like, oh, yeah, because I'm not watching it when it's on TV. But I always wonder, I mean, I don't know that much about how ratings work, but I wonder, like, now with the advent of Hulu and things like that, if networks take that into account for their views. Because it must be like YouTube. They must be able to track how many views a particular episode has got.
Maybe. I don't know. I know that's why reality TV has been the big success over the last couple of years, is they're really cheap. You don't have to really hire writers.
Right.
And everyone watches them for some reason.
Yeah. Not me.
I don't really watch it.
I used to watch The Apprentice, but then I stopped. So I was like,
but that's why stations like those reality TV shows, because they're really, really cheap.
I know. Just not for me. So, are you done with TV?
If I have my show notes, I can tell you what else I watch.
Yeah, I think that's good, though. Because I want to get to Thor. I want to talk about some Thor. Actually, no, there's one movie I watched. I didn't really watch that many movies this week.
I watched Apollo 13.
That's a good movie.
I'm surprised, because I watched it when I was younger, and so now I'm older and more appreciative of drama and emotions that go in a movie. That's a scary movie.
Yeah, that movie, the movie's very dramatic.
I kind of want to watch a behind-the-scenes of the special effects, because that must have been, I don't know how they did that.
There were some really impressive effects in that movie.
They're not even, like, explosion crazy special effects, just like, they're in zero gravity, but they have to film and they enclose space and some stuff. I don't even know how they did the zero gravity stuff.
Well, I mean, there's been, like, impressive zero gravity stuff all the way going back to, like, 2001 A Space Odyssey. Like, there were zero gravity shots, and that was in the late 60s. So, obviously, there's some way to film good-looking zero gravity
Maybe
stuff.
Maybe I just don't know anything about that. Right.
It can't just be things on strings. No, there's got to be something.
Yeah, because he was flipping a
quarter, right,
and then it was going all over the place.
Could have been CG? No?
No. Like, 90s. You think it would have very obvious CG.
I don't know. There was, like, I don't think we give enough credit to, like, the 90s. There was some good special effects in the 90s. I mean, like, yeah. I don't know. But yeah, so, right after last week's podcast, I mentioned it on last week's podcast, I was excited to go check out this, like, little indie movie, because I had just finished watching Super, which I had already, we talked about last week. And so I was kind of on, like, this indie movie, like, high, like you were on your 90s TV show high. And I was like, what other indie movies do people kind of online tend to like and, like, are talking about? And I came across this movie called Synecdoche, New York. And
how did you come across this, by the way?
Because
it doesn't sound familiar at all.
Synecdoche, New York. I had heard about it briefly when it came out. It came out, like, 2 years ago or something like that. I remember seeing it. Maybe a little bit before that, I'm not entirely sure. I remembered seeing it reviewed on like Roger and Ebert at the movies or something like that. And I remember them like ripping into it and saying it was a piece of trash. But then there was people online going like, oh no, you just have to understand it. It's like this really deep work of art. And so I think I was just perusing around on RottenTomatoes.com and I stumbled across it. And it had a really high certified fresh rating. And I was like, huh. Because normally I agree with Roger and Ebert. And, like, I have a high amount of respect for those film critics. So I was like, I'm getting two different things here. Like, some people, and a lot of people were referring to it as kind of like this cult, like really cult following type of movie. And whenever you hear that, it makes you kind of want to go watch it and see, like, what is it about this movie that draws people, but only, like, a specific type of person or something like that. So anyway, I was really interested in it. And it stars Philip Seymour Hoffman, who I like as an actor. And I know he's a really good actor, so I was like, okay. And all I knew that it was about this theater producer in New York, in Schenectady, New York, who goes on this hugely ambitious, lifelong project to create, like, this, like the greatest play of all time in theater or something like that. And so I was like, that sounds like an interesting premise. So I started watching it. You want to talk about weird? That movie makes Twin Peaks look like Sesame Street or Blue's Clues.
What?
Like, yeah, like, no joke. Schenectady, New York. Weird movie. Weird movie. So I know you haven't seen it, but the guy that wrote Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind, which was a weird movie in and of itself.
Also on my Insecure.
It's a good movie. You should watch it.
It's
like,
on there.
I like that movie a lot. The guy that wrote that movie wrote and directed this movie. And I guess, like, he's known for his very strange writing and very, like, deep and layered.
Acid?
Dude, watching this movie, I wouldn't be surprised if he was, because I felt like I was on acid at times watching this movie. And it pisses me off because the movie starts off and it seems like it's just a normal movie. It follows this guy. He's kind of living this shitty life. His wife doesn't seem to love him very much. He's kind of absent from his kid's life. He's really focused on his theater work. He had just done a production of Death of a Salesman, and it's highly reviewed. And he's, like, thinking about having an affair with one of the people that works on his plays. So I'm like, okay, you know, this seems like a good character drama. And then, like, I don't know, 20 minutes in or something, it just hit me that this movie was not a typical movie. It's mainly when the girl that he wants to have an affair with, I don't remember her name, but she's working for him in his production. It shows her going to go buy a new home, and she meets up with the real estate agent at the house, and the house is on fire. But neither of them acknowledge that, and they walk into the house, and they're walking around the house, and the real estate agent is pretty much giving the tour of the home as if she's trying to sell her the house while the house is burning. And at a certain point, she was like, well, what do you think of the house? And she's like, I really like it. I really do. She's like, the only thing is I'm worried about dying in the fire. And she goes, oh, I know, that's a difficult choice.
Choosing. Sounds like a sketch comedy thing you're going on.
But this is very serious. It's played, like, extremely serious. Like, it's not funny at all. And I'm like,
a great sketch comedy.
And it's supposed to be, I think, like, kind of this, like, ethereal, like, this is what, like, it feels like buying this house. Like, she's living in a world that's, like, kind of crumbling around her or something. Because she's in love with...
The whole movie is about symbolism and metaphors.
Oh, the whole movie is symbolism and metaphors.
I am awful at those.
So it's... The whole movie is pretty much... And it doesn't hit you at first because it seems normal. And then they just start coming rapid fire. And, like, it's visual metaphors. It's not like, oh, this is, like, kind of like, oh, his play production is a metaphor for his life or something like that. No, it's like her house is burning down around her, kind of like her life or something like that, because she's in love with a man that's married to a wife that he can't leave because she supports him in the marriage or something like that financially. And it's just like, ugh. And it gets even worse. Like, there's this guy that is in a lot of frames, like in the background, that you find out has been stalking the main guy, and you don't know why. And then he just introduces himself to the main character. He's like, hi, I'm your stalker. I've been following you for years. He's like, I know everything about you. And he's like, I would love to be in your play. And then he's like, all right. And I'm like, what? Like, and so he just follows him around. And then he switches roles with the stalker. And the stalker starts being the husband in the relationship because he doesn't love his wife anymore. And I'm just like, what the fuck is going on? And then 17 years pass. But it doesn't say 17 years pass. So I didn't realize 17 years passed until, like, someone says, we've been working on this play for 17 years. And I was like, what? When did that happen? And I realized he starts looking older. And I'm like, what the hell is going on with this movie? So anyway, it's a little over 2 hours long. And at about the 70-minute mark, a little over halfway, I was just like, nope, I'm done.
You didn't even finish it?
Nope. No, I'm a little over halfway through, and I was like, no, I'm done. I cannot even...
Interesting.
I cannot even take this anymore.
I've done that very, very few movies.
Me too.
It's like, oh, I can't...
Most of the time, like, and the thing was, like, most of the time, I can finish almost any movie, even if I'm not really enjoying it, just to see it to the end. Because otherwise, it's a very unsatisfying experience just to leave it halfway. But the movie, like, literally pissed me off at how ridiculous it was.
You know, if you should have told me if you're on Indie High, I would have recommended this movie called Primer. Have you heard about this?
I have not.
So you like time travel stuff, right?
Yeah.
All right. So
who doesn't?
It's time travel. So it's very, very indie. Like there's five people in the entire movie.
Okay.
But it starts off with these four dudes, and in their spare time, they like they're trying to build an invention to get them a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
And these two best friends accidentally discover they built a box, and then they put something in the box, and then they rotate it really, really, really fast, or something happens inside. You don't know what happens inside the box. They're trying to explain it, but the so they put this rock in, and they take it out, and it's covered in algae, and the guys didn't really give it much thought. And I should also try to mention that there's other people inside this movie. There's other stuff going on in this movie, but that's like the main point.
Right.
So they had this rock, and the guy took him to the scientist, and one of these guys is really, really excited at what he found. So he tried to tell his friend, he's like, dude, come with me. Come over here. And he's like, okay. And he goes to the scientist, and friend's like, all right, tell him what you told me. He's like, so this is algae here. It's just a common algae. He's like, yeah. So tell him what you told me. Keep going. He's like, in order to build up this algae, it'd probably take like a couple days.
So, but the rock hadn't been in the box for a couple days.
No, it was like a couple minutes or so.
Okay, so it had traveled through time inside this box.
Yes, and they accidentally discover it, so like they're trying to keep us here. But then the trial's like, maybe we can build a bigger version of this.
a bigger box?
A bigger box.
Okay.
So they try to configure it, and life-size person box. What you find out is the guy that told his friend to come over already built the box.
Okay.
He came back to the past.
Is this a spoiler?
It's not really a spoiler. Like, this happens very early on in the movie.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, I'm like, well, I don't want to watch it. You're spoiling it.
I think it has, like, a three-quarters. But, like, so you find out he came back, and he's trying to convince him, like, okay, we got to build two boxes.
That's really interesting. It and sounds cool.
Yeah, like, it's a very smart way. Like, no super special effects. It's all very common stuff, but it's really interesting time travel other than the fact to tell you, like, hey, this is time travel.
Right. Because time travel really doesn't require a bunch of special effects. Like, it doesn't need a big, flashy time travel
just the
animation.
Concept of messing with time.
Right. It's a very interesting and elaborate.
It is a pretty interesting film. It's like, I think it's 2 hours long.
Is it on Netflix? Is that where you saw it?
No, I didn't see it on Netflix. It might be on Netflix. You can Google it.
Yeah, we'll have to check it out. And figure out maybe if it's like on Instagram.
That's a pretty good indie
something.
Film.
It's called Primer?
Yeah, Primer.
Okay. I'll check that out. So, other than that, though, the only movie I watched this week that I can remember.
Yeah, I can really start taking notes of what I've done the entire week.
Yeah, I've been really busy this week, so I didn't have a lot of time. And again, spent a bunch more time playing Mortal Kombat, so. But I really haven't played many games either. It's just been a busy week with school and stuff. I'm finishing up finals, and then once.
Final Fantasy 13.
Again, we've talked those into the ground, so we can just be like.
I don't know, Final Fantasy 13 is hard.
I don't care.
Leveling up, or like.
I have it, I'll play it over the summer. I'll eventually start it over the summer.
Like, you'll beat the story, and then you're done. I've already beaten the story, and I'm broke, and I'm trying to level up, and all this stuff is happening.
I don't know. I might have to go after all the trophies.
You're
know.
Not going to go after all the trophies.
We'll see.
I'm telling you.
We'll see how interested I end up getting in that game, but
guarantee no, you.
The big thing this week that we've been putting off all this time now, and we finally arrived to it, is we saw Thor at midnight last night.
Yes!
So.
Thor,
the God of Thunder.
And Justice.
Injustice?
Yeah. He does both.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, like, his official title is the God of Thunder. I don't know if he's the official God of Justice.
So let's talk about this movie.
Yeah. I was not... when I originally saw the first trailer for it, back when the first trailer was released, I was not very impressed or enthused.
Mm-hmm. I was intrigued because I like Thor. He's a pretty cool dude.
I like the Avengers, so I was interested just to see this character who I didn't know much about, and I don't feel like... of the movies Marvel is making for these specific Avengers, I feel like Thor is the one that most people will know the least about the character.
I think Hulk.
I don't know. People know enough about Hulk, and I think that's people true. Know enough about Captain America. And Iron Man, of course, now that his movies aren't even out. But I feel like Thor was kind of like more of the wild card.
Yeah, well, it's a tough challenge for to be true to the source material, but also for people to recognize their Thor as in their own personal history.
Right.
I shouldn't say personal, but, like, the myth behind Thor.
Like, the Norse mythology versus the Marvel mythology.
That's I think this movie did a really well job of integrating that together.
But not only that, I think it's a tough task because unlike the other Avengers, who are based only on Earth, this actually takes things out of Earth for a lot of the movie and brings it to this like city of the gods on the
Asgard,
on the world of Asgard.
Yep.
And
I think Asgard. It's a city.
And I was really interested to see that because I didn't know anything about Asgard, and it only is like briefly hinted at in the trailers. And when I first saw it in the trailers, I thought it looked a little corny, a little hokey.
I still think it looks a little corny. It's too shiny for my ideal of what Asgard should have looked like.
But I've seen a couple of issues of the comic book, and Asgard is kind of like this really bright place, and it's like this really colorful place. And
okay.
I mean, if you're going to do justice to the fans of the book and stuff like that, it does look a little corny because, like, there's a rainbow bridge
and things like that. Well, that's what it's called.
But, yeah, and, I mean, it does have, like, rainbow. It doesn't look like a full-on rainbow. It looks pretty cool. But, like, the whole city looks really cool. I was actually pretty impressed with it. It reminded me a lot of Lord of the Rings in terms of kind of, like, the scope of the city, at least. Like, these sweeping vistas of, like, this kind of CG huge castle and these big armored statues.
Yeah.
But, yeah, so Thor was pretty awesome. I liked it a bunch.
A lot, like, my expectations at a certain level, I think it surpassed it. But it's not a great film. It's not, like, Dark Knight great. But it's a good, solid film. Great characters. Decent story. It's not going to throw you for a loop in any place.
Right.
But it was very solid.
I would say the word for me would be entertaining. Like, I was just thoroughly entertained the whole way through.
Mm-hmm.
Because it does, it has a mix of action, drama, and humor.
I like all the little comedic tropes that they threw in there.
Yeah, it seems like about every 5 minutes or so in the film, they kind of throw a joke in or something like that. Because they know it could get a little campy, a little hokey.
Because they want to kind of Thor, super serious dude.
Yeah, he's a very serious character, and he's played really well by Chris Hemsworth. I wasn't sure what to think of this guy because I had never seen Chris. Oh, no, he was the...
he was the captain.
He was the captain in the beginning of the Star...
Not the captain. He's James Kirk's dad.
James Kirk's dad in the Star Trek reboot that came out.
Yeah, he was in it for like a couple minutes. He died.
2009. And he was good in that. But, I mean, other than that, I didn't know much about this dude. But he makes a really good Thor. He's really convincing.
He's looks the part.
Dude, there's a part, I don't know if it's midway, maybe a little bit earlier than that, when he takes his shirt off on Earth.
Yeah.
Dude is ripped.
Hell yeah.
Yeah,
I'm
like,
super jealous.
Like, he puts Chris Evans in the Captain America trailer to, I don't know, to task. He's in that league, if not more so. Which makes sense, because he is a god, and the dude looks like a god among men.
I don't know if we're addressing that. I don't know if he's actually god in the comics.
I'm pretty sure he's the god of thunder.
Well, like,
he is a god. I'm pretty sure he's a god.
Like, he, like, I'm trying hard times, like, old Norse people will perceive people of that much power as god.
Uh-huh.
As their god. But I don't know.
I'm not saying he's like the all-powerful god, but he is a god among other gods. Because he's called the God of Thunder.
Yeah, but that's just what he's called.
Well, God's in the title, so I can only expect it to be true if he's called that.
But you know what I'm saying? I'm trying to, like, he's not an actual god. Like, he can die and stuff.
Can he?
Pretty sure. I'm pretty sure he's dead in the comic.
I have no idea.
Died at one point.
I have no idea.
Because
when they're on Asgard, they refer to Natalie Portman's character as a mortal. So I assume that means they're immortals, right? Because they wouldn't refer to them as mortals if they weren't immortals.
They kind of said it's egos.
No, like, you know, I wouldn't call you a human being unless I was something other than a human being.
I call you a human being.
Well, you're weird. So, I don't know. I don't know all the specifics, but the movie doesn't really delve into, like, all the really super specific stuff.
No, it, like, references and then moves past it. Just like, okay, here's this, just so you know.
But the movie is just a bunch of fun. It's a good Marvel comic book movie.
I also really like all the references they're making to the Avengers movie.
Yeah, they're more tastefully done here than they were done in Iron Man 2. Iron Man 2, they were kind of more like slapdash, like, dude, Avengers is coming out. Make sure you pay attention that Avengers is coming out.
Yeah.
Like, Fury all over the place.
A very subtle thing of Hawkeye played by, was it Jeremy Bremer?
Jeremy Renner. Of Hurt Locker and The Town.
Yeah.
Fame.
Like, people like Hawkeye, but he doesn't deserve his own movie.
No, he's not big enough of a character to have his own movie, but he has a cameo in this movie, and it's a cool little cameo where if you know that he's Hawkeye, you'll be able to pick it out.
I didn't know that he was Hawkeye until you told me.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, dude, that is great.
Yeah, you were all super impressed with my comic book knowledge of being able to pick that out of the movie, and then I revealed afterwards that I read about it online beforehand, like, true, where that where that cameo was going to be, so I'm not as smart as you think.
There were some other Avengers references.
Yeah, they reference a gamma radiation scientist, which, in my mind, they obviously have to be talking about the Hulk.
Yeah.
And then they mentioned Stark from Iron Man. So there's just, like, subtle nods showing that it's all taking place in the same universe, just in different
places. I'm more like in Marvel's thing. Maybe if this Avenger movie does well, and then the Spider-Man movie does well, then I'm thinking Spider-Man's going to be Avengers 2.
I don't think is Spider-Man being made by Marvel, though? I don't think it is.
I think it might be.
I don't think so. I don't think it's being made by Marvel Studios. I'm pretty sure the ones that were made by Marvel Studios are Punisher Warzone, which he's not in the Avengers, but that was made by them. Iron Man, Iron Man 2, The Incredible Hulk, Thor, and Captain America. Because all the X-Men one were done by Fox.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel did the Fantastic Four movies.
I don't think Marvel did the Fantastic Four movies.
Maybe they didn't.
Well,
because there's a difference between, like, movies being based on Marvel properties, like Marvel comic books, versus Marvel actually making the movies.
Yeah, I don't think Marvel made Fantastic Four.
They might not have. Actually, I think that might have been Fox again.
Yeah, because I remember the reading they just got the rights back.
But I don't think they're making the Spider-Man movies. I think that's a different, like, studio
owns those
rights. It might be Warner Brothers?
Sony.
Yes, Sony. My bad, Sony. Yeah, because they did all the original three Spider-Man trilogy, and now they're rebooting it. So, yes, that's Sony's. So, since...
I can still hold up hope that Spider-Man will be my Avengers movie.
I'm pretty sure he's not going to be. I don't think you're going to have that kind of interplay between movie studios working together.
Spider-Man and the Avengers working together.
I know, but you're just a Spider-Man fanboy. That's why. I'm good. I have my Iron Man and my Chris Evans in my movies as Captain America, so I have all I can ask for. Even though I'm irritated that in the Avengers, the Hulk is going to be played by Mark Ruffalo.
I'm not really irritated. It's the third Hulk.
I know. It's the third Hulk in three Hulk appearances in Marvel movies, and I'm like... They just need to kind of settle down. Like, I understand, I think it was just some sort of contractual thing with Edward Norton.
Yeah.
But I feel like if they can get everybody else...
Oh, you know what they should have done?
What?
Offer the part to Eric Bana again.
That would have been ridiculous. That would have been too messed up. Like, yeah, you have Eric Bana in Hulk, then Edward Norton in The Incredible Hulk, and now you're going to have Mark Ruffalo as the Hulk in The Avengers. And it's just like, considering everybody else is consistent among these movies... as actors playing their characters, I just find it a little jarring that they're constantly switching the Hulk character because they can't nail down an actor for
it. Is there anything else you want to talk about the Thor movie before we move on?
Because
we kind of veered off that.
I know. I would just recommend going and seeing it. I mean, like, I think it's the start
to the... What do you think about Natalie Portman, that...
I liked her.
You liked her?
Yeah. I like Natalie Portman, and I think here she plays kind of, like, a really likable... She's a scientist, but she's kind of vulnerable because she's at the will of S.H.I.E.L.D., who kind of comes in
really
and seizes all of her stuff.
Like, I didn't really get the romance between them, other than the fact that he's really hot and she's hot.
Well, I mean...
I just think there was enough time.
Well, yeah, because... and I've heard other people levy that complaint against the movie.
Other than that, I think the movie's great.
Just because the movie does a tightrope between splitting what's going on Earth and what's going on in Asgard, and it goes back and forth between the two.
I'm actually quite surprised they didn't call it Midgard. Throughout the entire movie.
He does one time.
Did he?
Yeah. He does when he's explaining the nine worlds.
Pretty sure he called it Earth still.
No, he says, this is Earth, which we call Midgard.
Oh, okay.
So, he just kind of throws that in there, showing that, like, look, that's not, we don't call it Earth, but since you guys call it Earth, I'm just going to call it Earth kind of thing. We call it Midgard. But yeah, it was pretty cool. I liked Loki. Thor's brother. He's
I'm
like
really
the
interesting in that take of the Loki origin, because at first he's kind of a likable character because he doesn't want Thor Like, Thor's super arrogant in the beginning of the movie.
Yeah, like, Thor's not that, like, he's likable because he's the main guy and he's, like, a charming guy, but at the same time, like, he's not ready for the throne. He is too brash and war-ready.
And then Loki just kind of threw him off, and then it kind of just fell on his lap that he can, has the potential to be king, and then you find out some twists, and he felt really betrayed, and then he became king, and it's really interesting to see that character become from, like, a charismatic, I'm just kind of messing with you, dude, to being really corrupt by that power really fast.
Yeah, I thought he was the most interesting character in the movie just because he has the most dimensions. Like, because Thor, like, Thor has an arc, and he does change over the course of the movie.
Really fast.
A little too fast. It's, you know, what do you want, a 3-hour movie?
Like, I just want his, I thought he should have been angrier in the beginning.
I don't know. Like, I'm really interested to see where they take him. Like, I want to see, obviously, I just want to see the Avengers. I'm just curious to see, like, how you're going to be able to balance so many big actors and so many big parts in one
movie. Joss Whedon's going to write that one, so I'm sure we'll have tons of Joss Whedon humor.
Yeah, which is cool, because I really thought the humor in this one was really entertaining, and I actually laughed a bunch in the theater. Yeah. Did you hear what happened with the script for the Avengers?
Yeah.
It just started shooting, like, a day or two into the shooting, and Samuel L. Jackson's script was stolen, or his script went missing, and so there's a script of the Avengers movie floating around somewhere, and
I don't know how this is going to play out, but
they're, like, some people are thinking that they might have to rewrite parts because they don't want it to get spoiled since Marvel's been building up to this movie
just
so much.
Josh can handle it. He's a pretty good guy.
Yeah, I mean, it did happen really early into the shoot. It kind of sucks that now they have to worry about that instead of just worrying about making the best movie that they can, so who knows? I doubt it'll amount to too much, but whoever stole the script sounds like a douchebag. Like, honestly, just let them do their thing and we can all go see it in the theaters. Hopefully it doesn't cause any sort of delays with, like, script rewrites or anything like that.
Do you think they'll make Thor 2?
Probably.
Like a standalone movie just about Thor?
I think so. I think that Thor will be successful enough in terms of, because I feel like while they are kind of making these movies to introduce the characters for this Avengers movie, like, Thor was a good enough standalone movie to justify a sequel. Like, I don't know if they're going to make an Incredible Hulk 2.
I don't think so. I don't, like, think Hulk's interesting at all.
Yeah, I'm not a huge fan of Hulk.
Other than that, he's overpowered.
Yeah.
Speaking of overpowered,
Thor is overpowered. No, Thor's hammer is overpowered.
No, Thor's pretty overpowered. Like, even in the Marvel universe, even in Asgard universe, he's the most overpowered character that you guys have ever met.
Yeah. Well, as long as he's holding Mjolnir, which is his, god-imbued power hammer.
No, he had the power of the god before.
Well, yeah, well, he was a mighty warrior, but, like, all of his main power comes from his hammer.
Sure.
Because when he loses his hammer when he goes on Earth...
Well, he took the power away from him.
Well, yeah, but when he gets the hammer back, then he can, like, fly and do all this shit.
Because that's what he told it to do.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure all the power is in the hammer. Like, he is a powerful dude, but, like, his god-like powers come from the hammer. I don't know. I don't know that much about Thor.
So...
Movie's good, though.
Yeah.
Go check it out.
Recommend it. I'm going to talk about the... What do you call those? The little video after the credit.
Yeah, stay after the credits. There's something after the credits that sets up interesting.
It's really like nerdy. I'm actually quite surprised how nerdy it got, because all they showed was Samuel Jackson revealing this cube, and they said it has immense power.
This is spoilers, by the way.
I don't think it's a spoiler, because I know anyone that doesn't read comic books, like, I don't really read a lot of comics, and I don't even know what this thing was. So what they end up showing is this blue cube, and what it's called is a cosmic cube. Have you heard of this?
No.
So it's a cube that has immense amount of power that the organization AIM.
AIM?
Yeah, like MODOK is an AIM.
Oh, man.
So
I
this
know
is,
who MODOK is.
Yeah, MODOK is going to be introduced because he uses the cube a lot, and Thanos uses the cube.
Dude.
That's how he gets most of his powers. Thanos uses the cube.
Dude. Yeah, if you want to know, like, MODOK is bad dude, but Thanos is, like, that'd be really cool if the Avengers movie, because we don't know who the villain in the Avengers movie is going to be. But
it's Loki.
Is it?
Yeah, like, Loki in the very first Avengers gets them all riled up.
Right.
That's the main reason why Thor's there.
But I'm saying, if they're setting up Thanos later down the line, that could be, like, the most epic thing.
Maybe Avengers 2.
If you want to talk about overpowered, Thanos is literally the most overpowered.
Oh, Galactica's pretty overpowered, too.
Galactus is, like, the destroyer of worlds.
Yeah.
He is, I think, like, on that same level. But, like, Thanos is, like, among the most overpowered. But then again, I mean, you have to have someone of amazing strength because you're having a team of superheroes, not just one superhero taking them on. So that could be interesting. So yeah. Anyway, I think that's enough about movies and stuff. Nothing really new in terms of games.
Did anything come out this week?
Well, we're going to talk about what's coming out.
No, I don't think it's been pretty dry other than...
Yeah, nothing... Not a bunch of stuff's coming out. The PlayStation Network's still down. Still waiting on that to come
back.
Yeah,
2 weeks of me not playing online games.
Me not playing SOCOM at all.
Oh, I played SOCOM single player.
Yeah.
With the Move controller.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot get a handle of that at all.
Are you just going to give up on it then?
Yeah, or? I'm giving up on SOCOM. I don't really like the story.
Are you just giving up on the game, or were you just going to give up on the Move controller, like using
it? No, I'm giving up on the game. I might sell it.
That's so disappointing. We were so excited.
Yeah, I didn't really like this characters and story and the multiplayer. I'm not gonna have time for it, so I'm thinking of just selling it.
Bummer.
You know what? No.
No.
Better yet, I know what I'm gonna do with it.
What?
I'm gonna give it away.
Why would you give it away?
I'm giving it away to one of our listeners here. If you want a free copy of SOCOM Navy SEALs for the PS3.
SOCOM 4.
SOCOM 4. No, Navy SEALs on the PS3. Like us on the Facebook page. Send me a message. You think I should just do random or make them work for it?
Well, I mean, are you going to give them the Move controller and the...
No, just the straight-up game.
Oh, just the game? So $60 copy of the game.
I haven't entered the code or anything, so all that still works.
Oh, yeah, the premium online content code.
Maybe I'll make them work for it.
If
you can... All right, enter a intro for Garrett's for next week's podcast that I do for his...
For my introduction.
Yeah. Whoever comes up with the best introduction for Garrett will receive a free copy of SOCOM.
Yeah, that's a good prize. Sorry, yeah. My phone keeps going off. People are calling me in the middle of this. But,
all right. But yeah, I'll put this on Facebook and mention that.
Send
free
it to
copy.
The email. You have a week to do it.
Yep, email us at braindeadjunkies@gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
Or like us on Facebook and do all this stuff.
Yeah, that's a pretty good prize.
Yeah.
So...
I am sorry, I did open it to because I played it, but...
Oh, my goodness.
Man, dude.
I know.
Turn off your phone.
People keep calling me. And during an important segment, too, when we're trying to give away this
giving away
game.
A free game.
So, $60. I'm not giving away my copy, so you'll write the introduction for me, and then maybe I'll play with you online if the PlayStation Network ever works again.
No, I'm just kind of... I'm done, because games...
Well, of course you're done. You're giving it away.
Yeah, well, look, L.A. Noire is coming out. Next week or 2 weeks?
2 weeks. Brink's coming out next week. I'm going to be buying Brink. So even if the PlayStation Network does go back up, I'm getting Brink on the Xbox 360 because I just bought a new Xbox 360 headset, Turtle Beach, so I'm super excited to try that out. So I'm going to be getting...
I don't know if I'm still iffy on Brink if I want to. I'm going to play L.A. Noire, so maybe I'll get Brink afterwards.
Okay. Yeah, because Brink comes out on the 10th and Noire comes out on the 17th. I'm going to be getting both, but... Because that'll be a good way to start off the summer, I think, to have, like, two big games. It'll finally have me back on my 360, because I haven't really touched my 360 much as of late.
I don't have a 360 anymore. Got rid of that.
I know. You got rid of your 360. You're just giving stuff away like crazy.
Well, I have a very good reason to give away my 360.
Which is?
It was overheating, and it would have cost, like, $200 to replace it through Xbox.
So you were a jerk and traded it into a GameStop, and now someone's going to buy it.
Yep.
Because
it runs initial inspection. Wow, I can't even say English today. But it ran all the basic checks and sold that.
So you're a jerk.
Yeah,
so someone's
gonna
buy.
Jerk.
Someone's gonna buy a faulty.
Do not go to the GameStop on Rainbow Cheyenne. Someone has that.
Yeah, someone's there. Someone might have already bought a faulty Xbox.
My bad. But I got a couple $100 out of it.
Yeah, and that's what you used to buy SOCOM, which you're now giving away. So.
I got all the move. You know, my main problem with SOCOM is the controls were a little funky on the sharpshooter. Mm-hmm. You haven't played it yet.
No, I haven't tried
but,
it
But, like,
yet.
To swap out weapons, there's a bottom underneath. So I'm going from here. I'm like, I need to hold that. And it's, like, it's not super convenient.
Mm-hmm.
And the camera's kind of jerky for a third-person shooter. I think if you're going to do a move game, it'll be... I don't know. I should borrow your Killzone.
Killzone? Yeah, because I know it works for Killzone.
I don't know how this works, but I think they're too focused on the retinal moving around on the screen. Whereas I think the retinal should be in the center, and then it tracks the move ball. So when you look up, the whole screen will move up with it. You know what I mean?
I guess.
Because they're having a hard time using... Because a lot of people use a second analog stick mm-hmm. to look around the camera. I think what you do is make the camera steady, and then your where the direction your ball is where the camera's moving.
Right.
Like
so, instead of making it more of like a rail gun kind of thing.
Yeah, it's really difficult to move your dude in a third person, then get him into cover, which is still pretty funky because the cover is a circle button, so you have to go to the right of your what you're moving, so you can't like move and hit cover at the same time. It's a lot clunkier than I wanted it to be.
Well, I mean, you could always just play it with a DualShock.
The first-person shooter part, when you, like, you zoomed in, and then you zoom in again, it's first-person, that works really well.
Well, then maybe Killzone will work really well with it, because it's a first-person shooter. So,
yeah,
I could let you borrow my copy. And you
yeah, can I'm really interested, because if it does that, I might be interested. I also think it's having a hard time tracking, because it's tracking... You have to point at the camera, and I want to point at the screen.
Well, I'm pretty sure you're supposed to point it at the screen. I mean, I haven't used it yet, so I don't know, but... I thought you said earlier that you thought you might be having calibration problems.
I was having a really hard time getting it to, when I point my gun at the center of the screen, the retina wasn't at the center of the screen.
Weird.
Maybe. But if I point at the camera, it's centered on the camera. But
maybe when your camera's like in the wrong spot or like
angled
the wrong
way. It's directly centered.
But it might be angled the wrong way.
I angled it multiple ways. I was having a hard time.
I'll have to try mine out and see if I have the same problems you do or not.
Like, maybe they're really focusing on the camera, but I kind of want sensors to be attached to both sides of the TV. You know what I'm kind of saying? So it gets two different readings. So it can has the more readings you get on that sensor ball, the better it'll be.
Right.
Instead of just the one. But I'm really disappointed in that. I also play the sharpshooter because I like how it feels, and I think it'll be designed well for maybe SOCOM and Resident Evil.
Yeah.
Should play that this summer.
Yeah. Definitely pick up Resident Evil 5 Gold Edition and try it out on that, see how that works. So, all right, well, I'm getting tired, and we're running a little long.
How long are we in?
Like, I think we're a little over an hour already.
Hour?
Yeah.
We still haven't talked about everything, though.
What else is there to talk about? We talked about what's coming out.
We did not talk about what's coming out.
Yeah, we talked about... Brink. Brink is what's coming out.
Yeah, Brink is what's coming out. There's movies coming out.
Oh, yeah. All right, why don't you give us a brief rundown of the movies that are coming out, and then I gotta start calling all these people back.
Like, there's something that we are missing that I want to talk about, and if I had my show notes...
Well, it's your fault that you didn't bring your laptop, so...
Also,
I don't want to make these good people wait.
Oh, yeah, dude, they announced Assassin's Creed Revelations.
Oh, yeah, the new Assassin's Creed.
Which, I'm actually quite surprised we're still on Ezio.
Well, I've never played Assassin's Creed, and I know you played all of them.
Yeah, I played all of them.
That's your deal.
Yeah, so Ezio is going to go back to, was it Castelnuovo? Is that what I'm thinking?
Constantinople.
And follow the path of Altair. And
is that where you were in the first game?
Sure.
Well, Altair was only in one game, so if he was there...
I don't remember. It's been a while since I played Assassin's Creed.
I haven't played any Assassin's Creed, and apparently I know more about it than you do.
Well, the city was in, but I know the story... But, like, once that was announced, I couldn't remember the ending for Assassin's Creed Brotherhood at all.
Like I said, you could probably just go and, like, watch it on YouTube. Because there's no way you're going to play through the entire Assassin's Creed Brotherhood again.
I might rent it. I think we should rent it and play the multiplayer, because that was the most fun I had in that game.
Which is weird, because I heard most people really enjoyed the single player in that game.
I like the single player, too, but, you know, you gotta do what you gotta do for, whatchamacallit.
I don't know. I didn't play the game. movies that are coming out...
Oh, I'm pulling up the list.
Well, I know just the main ones.
Filibuster. Oh, yeah, go off with the main ones, then.
Priest.
Yeah, Priest is coming out May 13th.
Yep. I want to go see that. I have a friend coming into town.
Yeah, I'm not going to go see it.
I know you aren't, but I have a friend coming into town who's big into movies, and I'm probably going to watch that with him.
Maybe he'll be on the...
We're going to try to get him to get on the podcast, and we can share our thoughts about Priest.
Very first guest. Yeah.
Yeah, because we haven't had a guest yet. And then Bridesmaids is coming out
with
from the people that made Knocked Up and Superbad. and 40-year-old virgin.
Did they make all that?
Yeah. When I was down at Best Buy earlier this week buying a Blu-ray of Inception, I was walking through the Blu-ray section, and if you bought a Blu-ray of Knocked Up or 40-year-old virgin or Forgetting Sarah Marshall or any of those Judd Apatow movies, you would get a free movie ticket to go see Bridesmaids.
That's not a bad deal.
No, and those movies were all on sale, so they're only $10. And going to see a new movie in theaters is about $10. So it's pretty much go see a movie and you get a free Blu-ray. So I thought about doing it.
Hesher is coming out with Justin Gordon-Levitt, where he's like that crazy metalhead dude.
Yeah, I haven't even seen a trailer for that. I've heard about it. I'd be interested in it just because I like the actor, Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
I don't know if I'll see it in theaters, but it looks kind of interesting. Go for it. Dance movie coming out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Not in 3D.
Bummer.
Yeah.
I don't care.
Skateland coming out. I have no idea what that movie's about.
I know it takes place in the 80s, and that's it.
Sure.
Something to do with the 80s and lands of skate.
Cougars Incorporated.
Don't know what that is.
I don't know what that is either, but that is coming out in theaters. Do you? Near you?
Hooray. Basically, all I'm going to go see is Priest. And maybe Fast Five. Because we didn't get a chance to go see Fast Five this week. So, really want to catch up on that. I'm hearing good things about it still.
Letting this podcast down if we're not going to be up and up with the newest movies coming out.
Well, it's about to start summer, and then I'm going to have a lot more free time, and then we're going to have a lot more time to watch shows and play games and things like that. So it's about to ramp up, and we're going to have a lot more time. But even still, with our lackadaisical effort, we are still putting in a good hour-long podcast each week. So we're not doing a disservice. Plus, we're giving free shit away this week. So
I am giving away free shit.
You're giving away free shit. I'm not nearly as generous as you.
That's it for this episode. Email us at braindeadjunkies@gmail.com.
Like us on Facebook.
Yes. You can look up Braindead Junkies on Facebook and like us.
Mm-hmm.
We're available on iTunes.
Yeah, check that out. Download us to your iPod. Put us in your ear holes.
I'd be weird about this. We can stream.
My voice and your brain. Stuff.
Like, if 3G, you can stream our podcast. I do that sometimes.
Yeah, I stream podcasts on Android.
Does the Droid Market have something I can put on? I know the Zune Marketplace, I need to put that on there.
I don't know, I don't really mess around with the Droid Market that much. I hear that the Droid Market's even easier. Well, we shouldn't be talking about this on here, we can talk about this off podcast.
Hey everyone on iTunes, tell
yeah,
us
about
your friends.
Yeah, check out iTunes.
Yeah, that's a big accomplishment for us.
Yeah, we're moving up. So thanks for sticking with us, and we will see you next week.